What's happening, hardscapers? This is episode 85 of the How to Hardscape podcast, where we talk to you about how you can start and grow your hardscaping business. And today we're joined by Britt Dowd. He is the owner of Green Again Lawn and a host of the Lawn Care Leaders podcast. We talk to him today about business and life and get deep right off the bat with these questions. So be sure to tune in and check out his podcast. I was on his show later last month, so you can check out that episode as well as many other episodes that he's got releasing on a regular basis now over there. So without further ado, here's our interview with Britt Dowd. Today, we're joined by Britt Dowd. He is the host of the Lawn Care Leaders podcast and owner of Green Again Lawn. Britt, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Mike. It's my pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
Britt, let's just get started to get some context about yourself and your, I guess, entrance into this industry. Can you give our audience a little bit of a summary about how you started your business, whether it was Green Again Lawn or you know, your introduction into the green industry as a whole?
Yeah, Mike, I can do that for sure. So just to give you guys a little background on who I am, what I'm about, I've got a wife, been married now, coming up on, this will be our ninth year. We've got two toddlers and we're busier than ever. We live on 40 acres here just south of Kansas City. And it's kind of like our hobby farm. It's our little slice of heaven. And that's just a little bit of background on me. Go Chiefs. We're getting ready to take our second Super Bowl. So that's good. But yeah, we reside here in South KC. Our shop for Green Again Lawn is in South Kansas City as well. But I got into the lawn and landscape industry, and it's no surprise. Like, everybody seems to enter somewhat the same, a good majority of us. But I think it was like I asked my dad for a pair of basketball shoes because growing up, my brother and I, literally all we did was play basketball like 24/7. So I think I went and asked him for a pair of basketball shoes. And like any good father should, he said no. And I was like, what? He was like, no, you can't. You can go out and earn some money and buy your own pair of shoes. And so I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? I looked around. He had a mower. He had a trimmer. He had a blower. I asked him if he could use it. And what did I do? I went and started cutting some lawns. And I can't even remember if I bought the pair of shoes. But I got addicted to the quick cash. I got addicted to working outside, meeting with customers, and just started really, really early on developing this love for entrepreneurship, developing this love for creating something new and adding value to other people. And what's funny, in those early days, I actually started with a push mower and my mom's purple minivan. And that just led into me going and helping my uncle one summer, made enough cash to buy some equipment. And that put me in business from high school all the way through my college years and kept my business going in spite of playing sports. I played college basketball for a little bit. I wasn't that great, but I did do it, but I still had my mowing accounts. And I met my now wife, Brooke, in college. And when I met her, her dad at the time had been in the green industry for 20 plus years. And he saw me as this young punk kid with long hair, cut up jeans, mowing lawns with a Ferris belt drive walk behind mower. And he was like, shoot, if this dude's going to marry my daughter, my oldest daughter, I'm going to have to teach him some things. And praise the Lord that he did, because he started to teach me the value of technical skills and the value of professionalism. And every time you add a technical skill, it adds a layer of professionalism. And therein lies the profit. And so whenever I met her, I started talking to her dad, and we started thinking about phasing out of mowing and landscaping these clients and starting to add fertilizing and weed control to our client base. And so right around 2012, we rebranded as from Lawn Boys Mowing to Green Again Lawn. And I had about 43 mowing accounts that I did light landscaping for at the time. And we had zero fertilizing and weed control accounts. And that was the fall of 2012, and literally sold the truck I had, got a white truck, rebranded it. The truck was $2,000. It had a dent on one side because the guy had been drinking and driving. Bought a Clawson T25 aerator, which she's a beast. She's like wrestling a fat girl all day. She's still in production to this day. But I bought that in the fall of 2012 because we needed to generate some revenue. So we just started seeding. And yeah, just slowly started trying to tell our clients, hey, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing it. And I just really pushed hard on getting new clients just for that service for the next 3 years so that we could phase out of the other stuff. And to jump to where we're at today, we're sitting at over 2,000 accounts that are just for fertilizing and weed control. We've got a few hundred accounts that either do lawn insecticide, tree and shrub stuff. And we're projected with the team that we have, I would be very surprised. I know this sounds crazy, but I'd be very surprised if we don't hit 3,000 accounts this year. And a lot has happened between zero accounts and 2,000 to 3,000, but it's been a journey. I love it. And that's just kind of a quick five minute highlight of what we got going on and how I got into the industry and Green Again Lawn.
For sure. And you've got this beast of a business that's growing. And I kind of want to get into a little bit of your personal life, because that does interest me personally moving forward as in a marriage and everything, and ask you, how do you juggle being married with kids and this business that you're trying to grow? You mentioned you're getting to hopefully 3,000 counts this year. That's a lot to manage. That's a lot to, you know, put forward in your business, as well as still have time for the wife and kids. So where does this balancing act come into play? Do you have boundaries set in place with your wife, or is this like the time in place in your life that you just need to go, 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 and that will come later?
That is a really good question, Mike, and a really deep question. I'm going to pass on that one. Is that all right?
Yeah, no, totally fine.
I'm just kidding. Okay. So you're like, oh, snap, this never happened before. I'm just pitching it right back over the net to you, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's try to tackle this in bite-sized chunks. Number one, I'm a believer, and I run my business and my personal life all off of faith-based principles. And so I would tell your audience, number one, you got to know who you are in Christ. And secondly, after that, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. So don't let the fear of failure stop you from correcting a mistake that you made. Don't let the fear of failure stop you from taking that next jump in your business. So that's the second point. Running it off of faith-based principles, in the beginning, it kind of went down to me. There's a Bible verse that says you have to take care of you and your family first, or you're worse than an unbeliever. And I think that looks different at different points in your business. And so not judging yourself whenever you're having to work 12 to 15 hours a day, because you know that you're taking care of your family, and recalibrating when you get out of balance and apologizing a lot is key. Because I've had times where I communicate great with my wife, but I'm also a guy, and 90% of the time I don't communicate great. I'm just going, I'm knocking down walls, I'm running a business. And so constantly recalibrating, constantly asking my wife, like, hey, how was this last season? How is this, you know, next 3 months going to look like? Just constantly checking in and recalibrating, making sure that my schedule reflects the things that are most important to me. But I also, one thing that I do think Brooke and I did a good job of is early on, we both knew that it would take extreme, extreme sacrifice to get where we wanted to go. Having zero clients and 43 mowing accounts and wanting to buy a house and wanting to own land and wanting to have a family, that's not going to cut it. And so we both were in agreement. We are willing to push pause on any other need or want that is outside the business. And I kid you not, for 5 years, we didn't spend any money on anything. I mean, the occasional going out to eat or, you know, taking her out on a random date, but not big vacations, not big elaborate vehicles. And I say this on our podcast, but for me, it was hard because she didn't even go get her hair done. And every woman has that thing that it's like, that's her recharge time that makes her feel like a woman. It makes her feel pretty. And so for 5 years, she would get offered from her mom to go and get her hair done. And it was just little things like that, that we were sacrificing so deep and creating such scarcity that my drive to win and my drive to make it work was greater than anything else. And so we were both on the same page with that. And I said the Bible verse, the beginning of this story, because I believe in those moments when you're starting a business, if you've prayed about it, you know, this is God's calling in your life. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be going dark to dark. You are sacrificing. You are leaving the cave, killing something and dragging it home, no matter what hour of the day it is. That's what it takes to work. But as my business has iterated and we've had kids, I am constantly, there's a thing called truing the wheel. I learned this from two pastors that I had on the podcast, but a real biker that actually gets out on the road. He wears the shorts that are way too tight and the weird looking helmet. And he usually travels in groups of buddies because he's afraid to go alone, so he doesn't get made fun of. But anyways, they're true bikers. They true the wheel. And it's just this tension back and forth. It's this recalibrating, making sure that everything is in balance. And there is no spreadsheet that I can send you that you plug your schedule in, you send it to your wife, and then you're done for the rest of your life. It's not how it works. Something changes. Somebody passes away. A baby is born. A business is lost. A business is gained. A client is lost. A client is gained. And so you're constantly truing the wheel. You're constantly communicating. And what looks like putting you and your family first now is going to be different next year. And so you're always communicating, always making sure you're on the same page. And I think one realization, Mike, if I can share it, that I've come to, I've run my bank account like this, so I don't know why it hasn't come to me with time, but I'm right in the crux of this right now. I'm thinking about, what does my 2021 look like? I've got four different businesses, got a lot of people that depend on me. What does my schedule look like? And with my finances, I do this. I'll take a chunk off and put it in a savings for taxes, a chunk off and put it in a savings for owner's pay, a chunk off and put it in a savings for core capital or prepay, all these different allocations. And then our business survives off of what's left. And I just realized recently, that's what I need to be doing with my time. I need to allocate everything that's important and chunk it off into a different bucket first and make sure that I allocate time to that. And then I must live off of the remaining time. So I need to make my business survive. I need to become more efficient. I need to force more action into a smaller window. I need to get up earlier. I need to stay up later. Whatever it is, I've got to do it because I've already allocated time to those things that are most important. And it's funny that we're talking about this, but I actually started doing that last night. You know, I'm just looking at, okay, a date night with my wife, personal recharge time for me, focus time where I'm working on the most important things that are important but not urgent, education time that I get poured into so that I'm the best leader I can be for everybody else, time with my kids, taking my daughter to school. So I'm building this schedule on all the things that are most important to me in my life, and then everything else is going to go around it. And at this stage in my life, I truly believe that that is what it looks like for me to truly put me and my family first. And it was different the first 5 years, but I think we've sacrificed, we've cut deep, we've created margin. The next 5 years need to be a little different. I need to start allocating time into different buckets. So I know that was a long-winded answer, Mike, but hopefully that gives just maybe a couple tips for your audience if they're running a business with their spouse or they are married. Communication is key. You can't do it enough, and constant check-ins, especially with the seasonalities of our business, are key. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the time allocation and the fact that the next 5 years are not going to look like the past 5 years, because you've created that margin in your business to allow for that. You also mentioned those different accounts that you have.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. That's interesting. Why not have just one business account where everything comes out of? What does that do for you to have those four different accounts and to allocate different things to those different accounts, and that, you know, the owner's pay is coming out of this account, this everything moving around? What does that do for you?
Okay. So there is, this is a resource allocation topic. Where am I going to allocate resources? And when you're talking about resource allocation, there's two different mindsets. There is an abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset. And both can be good at certain times and both can be bad at certain times. And so what it's doing is you're allocating resources based off of abundance for your savings accounts. It's nice to have an abundant savings account when it comes time to pay taxes. It's nice to have an abundance mindset when you have a core capital account that you've slowly put money into, and now you know that's earmarked for reinvestment. So it's nice to have that abundance mindset when taking risks, when needing that money for whatever it may be. But it's also nice to have a scarcity mindset when it comes to running your business budget, your recurring expenses. It's nice to infuse a little scarcity into the situation, some forced scarcity, as I like to call it, when marketing. So next season rolls around. I'll be honest, my core capital account for Green Again for the first time in 10 years looks awesome. But do you think I'm going to go in there and tell our team, hey guys, we're sitting pretty. We've got this in the account. All of our five buckets are full. Core capital strong. Let's go out there and let's be average. Let's live abundant. No, I'm going to be like, guys, we're squeaking by. And if we don't bust our A's for 10 weeks, I don't know what it's going to look like. It ain't going to look good. At the very least, I'm going to be pissed off. So forcing scarcity on the operating expenses and on the operations is good. Forcing abundance by allocation of resources on the savings side is also good. And I learned a lot of these principles from the book Profit First. And he talks about the Parkinson's Law. And the Parkinson's Law is just a theory that says you're going to use the availability of whatever resource you have. So he gives the example of like a tray of cookies. If there's five cookies there, chances are those five cookies are going to be gone. There's 12 cookies there, those cookies are going to be gone. And so using that theory on, hey, if I got paid 50K last year, I'm going to use all 50K somehow. Next year, if I get paid 80K, do you think there's going to be an extra 30 grand laying around? No, not if you don't allocate the resources properly. You're going to live off of that Parkinson's Law theory and use all 80K. I promise you, you'll find somewhere to put the 30 grand. And so playing on that, your mind only sees what's in the operating expenses account, because all this money comes in on a serving tray and is delivered first to the things that are most important, and, you know, the mindset of abundance, and then everything else you have to survive off of. And so it's always forcing that scarcity on the other end.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that book, Profit First. I do like that you talk about that scarcity mindset, and hopefully none of your crew members or your employees listen to the How to Hardscape podcast so that they know that you're sitting a little bit pretty, so that they keep that scarcity mindset as well. But you also mentioned that you kind of rebranded back in 2012 when you moved from Lawn Boys to Green Again. Can you talk about how that... What prompts that rebranding? Is it that change in services that now you're moving to this service, so now you need to rebrand? But why not just keep the old brand and the recognition that comes with it? What thought process were you at in terms of rebranding the business and renaming the business?
Yeah, good question. I'm always trying to think way far in the future. So sometimes that gets me in trouble and other times it plays out great, just like it has for the rebranding. But first and foremost, Lawn Boys is copywritten by a mower company. So I was like, well, you know, I don't know what size I'm going to get to, but I don't ever want to get in a position where I've got hundreds of clients that I have to tell, hey, we're changing our name. Secondly, didn't really like the name. And for me, a lot of people will think to themselves like, oh, it's not that important. It's just a name. But for me, a name says a lot. And so I wanted to brand us. When somebody saw our logo, when they heard the name, they had this idea in their mind of fertilizing and weed control. When you think of a lawn boy, you don't really get the indication of a professional in the lawn and landscape industry. Like that's the thing that I wanted to get away from the most. I didn't want to be just the lawn boy. I wanted to be their guy. And so for me, Green Again Lawn put a mental image in their mind. My lawn sucks. I need Green Again. And so that's what we wanted to do. We rebranded because one, it was copywritten. Two, we were going in a completely different direction. Three, we wanted to indicate professionalism and that we weren't just the lawn boy up the street.
Gotcha. So getting into your services, you narrowed down to just fertilizer, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. Fertilizing, weed control. And we now offer lawn insecticide and tree and shrub programs.
So why reduce the amount of services, or why transfer into this section of the industry, doing that fertilizer and no longer doing the cutting of the grass, or getting into the landscape installs? Why focus just on this section of the market?
That's a good question. So number one, I had kind of the ace in my back pocket with my father-in-law. He was willing to help me out a lot on the technical skills. And I can't overstate that enough. Like all of my identification abilities with weed control products, we've got grass types, weed types. Now we're getting into tree and shrub, which is a whole another problem. He's helped me tremendously with that. So that obviously is one major factor in me ending up in just this segment. But the other is I also enjoyed it. I also loved, like, whenever we made the jump from just mowing to, oh, now we specialize in fertilizing and weed control, clients started to view me differently. They started to ask me different questions, deeper questions. And to be honest, I liked the competition. I liked the sport of that. I liked wanting to know. I liked failing and needing to learn something. Going back to what you and I had talked about previously on my podcast, but it was the ability to not have a cap on myself. I just felt that even more so when I went from mowing to applications. The other thing is I default business owner more than technician, or more than wanting to become a horticulturalist or a landscape specialist or a designer. I have always defaulted business owner. And so whenever I saw the difference in profit margins and the difference in scalability of lawn applications compared to mowing, it was a no-brainer for me. So a lot of overhead on mowing, very hard to scale. And most of the time, whenever you start mowing and you add applications and you're landscaping, you're considered a one-stop shop. And I just didn't, my personal why, how I wanted to run a business, did not suit that. I wanted something that was high speed, low drag, a lot of scalability, a lot of recurring revenue, a lot of equity in the book of business itself and the track record of recurring revenue, as opposed to one-off jobs, equipment, big contracts. It was just my personal preference. That's how I wanted to run and scale my business, was going that direction. So hopefully, I know that's a roundabout way, and there's three different reasons there, Mike, but hopefully that gives you a good enough answer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know this is called the How to Hardscape podcast, and it does feature green industry professionals like yourself and now and again, but these principles really do apply, like these business principles really do apply to a hardscape company, a landscape install company. From what I gather, you kind of understood the market in terms of where you wanted to specialize. You knew there was a demand for it, and you wanted to be that specialized company that people come to and ask for professional advice in terms of this fertilizer. And that being said, you did mention that you were, you know, scaling up this year, hopefully hitting that 3,000 accounts mark. Now, with that, is there any, you know, future divisions opening up within your business or another business altogether that will specialize in, say, a landscape install, in, say, the getting back into mowing, whatever it might be? Is this going to hit a point where you've scaled enough that you need to introduce a new service? Or would that just mean, instead of introducing the new service, opening up a different location and expanding outward?
That's a really good question, man. That's a really good question, because you're right. There's two ways to scale, right? You can go broad, or you can go deep with where you're at. And what's funny is I'm going to do a little bit of both. We're in 2020. So next year, 2021, we are going to make sure our leadership is ready to run operations almost completely without me. I'll be there. I'll be there to handhold and fix problems if they arise. But really, it's going to be a test, because in 2022, we would like to start our second location and scale that exactly how we have done. And also around 2022, 2023, we would like to start a nursery. We want to provide plant material, mulch, bulk rock. And with that, I think will come some light landscape work. So, but that will be under a completely different heading. If it happens, it will not be under Green Again Lawn. We're going to rebrand that separately. It will be a guy from our team starting that with me, and we're going to see how that goes. But I want to keep that two different entities.
And since it applies directly, will that space in which you run that retail location, that dealer, the supplier, will that also house your equipment? Will that also be a house for Green Again Lawn to operate out of?
Yeah. So we have 2.25 acres in Spring Hill, Kansas, and we've got a shop there with four bays and nice entrance, but the back side of it is pretty wide open. And so we've at least got two of those acres that we can build on. And so we're going to use our existing property for the meantime to start the nursery, hold the bulk mulch, hold the rock, and then that separate entity, whatever we name it, we'll just pay rent to Green Again. And eventually, hopefully, we'll outgrow it and we'll have to buy the space next to us, and they can kind of move up the road just a bit. But that's the existing plan.
Nice. And getting into your podcast now.
Yeah.
Lawn Care Leaders. Can you talk to our audience a little bit about what you're trying to do with this? What is the podcast? What kind of guests do you have on? What do you yourself talk about? Let's get into the podcast a little bit here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. So it's the Lawn Care Leaders podcast. And I first started the podcast, I'm sure somewhat like you started. The origin for it was because I personally had a need and a desire to learn from other leaders. I personally had gaps in my business and question marks that I was looking to get answers to. And I was turning and looking and searching, and everywhere around me, it seemed to be just a plethora of technical skills and continuing education on just the quote unquote doing of the business. But I wanted to get strategic. You know, I wanted to get out of the technical skills and get strategic on my business. And I was looking, and there was not a lot. There wasn't a lot for podcasts. There was a lot of general business stuff, but for our industry specifically, there wasn't a lot. And so I just decided, hey, well, if nobody's doing it, I'm going to start it. Interview these people so selfishly I can learn, and then maybe somebody will get some value out of it as well. And really, really rough beginning, poor audio quality, but I learned a lot. And the funny thing is I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking small business. I just enjoyed learning from other people's stories. I loved learning from their perspective and hearing their different unique circumstances and, oh, well, how does that relate to my business and what can I do to improve? I'm a big personal growth guy and a big business growth guy. So I got addicted to that. And really it spiraled into this brand that our entire mission is to add value to lawn and landscape professionals. And we have a ton of free content that we put out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and we're approaching 200 episodes on our podcast now. And because of all that, we have developed a brand and a value add that is reaching people. It's resonating with people, and we're hearing stories of people that are able to go full time for the first time in 5 years because of listening to our podcast, or people who are inspired to add a lawn application program because of our podcast. And we're just hearing all these really cool stories of impact from the podcast. And so out of that, I know it sounds crazy, but another business was birthed, and it's called Intentional Growth Advisors. And it's a coaching and consulting company. I don't want to plug that too much, but we have listeners that want more help. They want to do biweekly calls. They want, a virtual CFO to come alongside them and help them with their books. They want operational advice. And so we created that. I'm a co-owner in it with my buddy, Zach Miller. He is a CFO and has recently stepped down from his position as the CFO of a large, large steel company in Indy, because the demand for this industry for those services is so great. And so I'm super excited about it. Hopefully I'm not just rambling. Hopefully your audience can hear my passion. I love bringing free content. And if I can, Mike, just a couple more minutes on this. Our shows are very unique. It's not just interview style. We usually do a growth nugget and we dive in on I call it a bite-sized business topic, something for you to think about during the week. And then right now we have a special series Tuesdays and Wednesdays where we're chronologically going through the journey of business ownership with four business owners. We drop those every Tuesday, Wednesday. And Thursday is usually an interview just like this where you learn from somebody else's story. And then Friday is a growth segment with Zach. And that can get kind of heady, but we do a lot of financial advice, a lot of tax type stuff, operations around, let's look at our actual versus projected, or how to track your profit margin, or how to better quote. And it's a deeper dive on those growth segments. But that's kind of the outline if your audience does come over and start listening.
So getting into the business topics that you cover, whether it's you yourself, whether it is somebody that came on the show that just blew your mind with a little nugget, so to speak, that they gave you, or something you've picked up along the way and now you share, what is the biggest takeaway, the biggest nugget that you've heard or you've said on the podcast that you'd want to pass forward to our audience in terms of just business in general, or anything that you want to pass on?
Ooh, that's big, man. That is big. I don't know that I can sum it up in just like one specific topic, because every person's story is unique and you can learn something from someone. Like whoever it is, you can learn something, you can extract some value from their story and what they're saying. So I can't really narrow it down, but maybe for your audience, I think one common thread that I see in highly, highly successful people is what I call the success driver. And it's just the things that I see that prove success over and over again. And it usually comes in the form of a vision. Okay. So it's the success driver. So if your audience can just picture being on that road, I always picture in my mind like that stereotypical movie scene where a car is driving down a highway and it's like a Arizona type scene, and you know, it's hazy in the distance, and that's how I picture the success driver. So you're in this vehicle, but if you have a vision for where you're going, you at least know high level, how are we going to get there? We want to get from point A to point B. That is our vision. So highly successful people have a vision. Then they couple that with humility. And I say humility because that usually comes with a lot of other really good character traits, like patience and putting others before yourself and caring for others before yourself. And all of those things translate into sales, marketing, team culture, payroll, incentives. And so humility is kind of the birthplace for all those. So you've got vision that is mapping your journey in the success driver. You've got humility, and then you have a deep work ethic. And that's kind of the fuel for the car. People that I see are pouring mass amounts of fuel into this car and punching the gas towards their vision. So it's those three simple things. And again, it's not like that is the key takeaway that every single successful person gives me, but it is kind of the common thread that I've been seeing a lot.
Awesome. And Britt, I think with that, that's a good enough spot as any to come to a close here. Thank you so much for your time and joining me on the podcast. We got into a lot of heavy topics here, from, you know, operating, owning and operating a business is with, you know, wife and kids back at home, rebranding, as well as just that little nugget that you dropped us on us there. Britt, thank you so much for your time.
Michael, you're the man. I appreciate you, brother, and it's been my pleasure.
I'm just going to give you the floor right now. Where can our audience go to find out everything that you've got going online right now so that they can check out more about you?
Cool, man. Well, first and foremost, go check out the podcast, because you'll hear us plug all of our hangout spots. Just Lawn Care Leaders podcast, Apple, Spotify, anywhere podcasts can be found. Go check that out. And we're very heavy on LinkedIn and very heavy on Instagram. You just look up at Lawn Care Leaders podcast on Instagram, chat with us there. And you can find me on those places pretty easy.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Visit us at howtohardscape.com for more information. Let us know what you want to learn about in future episodes by reaching out to us on our social channels. We're at howtohardscape on Instagram and Facebook, or send us an email, contact@howtohardscape.com. We've been getting a lot of great suggestions lately on Instagram and through email, so keep those coming. Those really do help me know what I should be getting more into on this podcast. So thank you so much. And thank you to those who are sharing this podcast on a regular basis, whether that's on Facebook, whether that's on Instagram, and engaging with us there. That really does help as well. And it's good to speak and talk with you there. We'd also love it if you subscribe to our podcast, left us a rating and review if you're using Apple Podcasts. Quick and easy, at the very bottom, click that 5-star, give us a review. That also helps us with traction with this podcast and getting more great guests on this show to deliver you more value. We look forward to meeting with you next week on the How to Hardscape podcast.